The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, inflation cooling in April.
Oil is down.
Gas prices falling for the third month in a row.
Eggs are down. Food is down.
Grocery prices seeing their largest decline in nearly 5 years.
So all that hysteria over tariffs is not showing up in these numbers.
No, not at all.
That's good news. We should be celebrating.
It's a huge sigh of relief for President Trump.
Americans are breathing a sigh of relief. Every dollar is going further, and workers are able to keep more of their hard-earned paychecks.
We're coming in a little bit lighter than expected. So we came in at 0.2% month over month. The street was looking for 0.3. So that's actually better than what the street thought was going to happen here.
Now the stage is set for a very orderly reduction in interest rates in the back half of the year.
U.S. Inflation showing a slowing, I should say, to its lowest rate in more than 4 years. That, according to April's Consumer Price Index report, it's an unexpected and very welcome development that's defying economists' expectations amid President Trump's ongoing trade war. Let's go live right now to CNN business and politics correspondent Vanessa Yurkevich, who's watching all of this in New York. Vanessa, walk us through this morning's report. Where do things stand?
Encouraging signs, Wolf. Inflation continuing to move in the right direction, cooling on an annual basis to 2.3%.
A very sad day for the regime media. Anytime the economy does well and a Republican is in office, it's a sad day for CNN and MSNBC. Wolf Blitzer, even trying to report on that news, just can't even crack a smile over a positive development in the economy. Trump has said that he wants to use tariffs as a negotiating tactic. That's the art of the deal, I guess, and we can get into the nuance of that a little bit. But just the regime media's approach to when there's bad news under Joe Biden, well, don't believe your lying eyes. It's not as bad as you think. Actually, inflation is good for you. Those are some of the headlines at CNN. And then Trump brings it all down and unexpected, but welcome news. And Wolf Blitzer just can't even acknowledge that or just smile a little bit. It's somber news for the regime media. Politico wasn't able to handle the news either. Their headline, Trump tariffs have little impact on prices so far, defying grim forecasts. They write, prices climbed at an unexpectedly slow pace last month, offering a boost to President Donald Trump, whose aggressive trade policies have sparked fears of a resurgence in inflation. Now, Trump has backed off on a lot of the tariffs. He's come to agreements with nations like the UK and with China. That I think that 10% baseline tariff is still there for most of the world. And then we'll see what happens again in another 90 days. I often think of that clip of President Trump from the 90s where he says, it might have even been the late 80s, where he says that he believes economists are a wasted profession. He hasn't seen any of them get it right. Politico, you can tell just how reluctant they are to have to write this. The Labor Department on Tuesday reported that prices rose at an annual rate of 2.3%, the smallest increase since early 2021. While price growth in so-called core sectors of the economy remained elevated at 2.8%, April's Consumer Price Index contained only scant evidence that Trump's tariffs have meaningfully driven up the cost of living. I think what's just fascinating about reading this article and these headlines is that nobody really understands what's happening. I would say even President Trump doesn't fully grasp it. And I'll read a quote to you from Mr. Gerald Fleury about the resurgence and how that is something that comes from God. It's God temporarily preserving and saving this country. One more quote here from Politico. The CPI report will likely bolster the administration's claims that grim forecasts for the economy have been overblown. Most polls have Trump's approval rating underwater as voters sour on his economic policies. The report will also amplify Trump's calls for Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. Powell and other just talking about bringing the interest rates down, and then you can really have the economic boom. CNN, they had a headline about egg prices. Again, contrast how the media would report on something that Biden did, and their headline was something about how Trump has been living in this false reality that egg prices are coming down and that they're lower. And then at the end of the headline, they admit, well, now Trump's fiction has become reality and egg prices have actually come down. Again, there are aspects of it that it's kind of inexplicable what's happening. Economy or economics is a very complicated subject, but I think that's what brings God's hand into this so much more. This is a quote from Mr. Gerald Flurry. He wrote this right after President Trump won in November of 2024. The article's titled A Miracle Victory. It says, Bible prophecy says that Donald Trump is going to lead a resurgence in America. Based on the scale of his victory, this resurgence could be significant and impressive. We must see that this is not the work of a man. This is God's doing. God issued the prophecy and God is bringing it to pass. I encourage you to read that article for more of that detail. But look at what's happening. You can see where Trump is defying all the odds. Even the conservative commentators and economists don't know how it's happening. And a lot of people now will look to Trump and say, well, he was right. Just keep following what he's doing. But where should we really be looking in all of this? Mr. Flurry says, how wonderful that we can look in God's Bible, see where he says something will happen, then watch it happen. God always fulfills his prophecies. This election showed God's profound love for and mercy toward America. Many people were bracing for unrest and violence. A contested election surely would have sparked grave social strife. The fact that the outcome was so decisive and irrefutable silenced the dissenters and enabled the country to move forward in relative peace. It paves the way for a national resurgence. And Mr. Flurry says, this is God's doing. If this sticks, we'll see again in another 90 days. But God is giving the country more time. God is giving this little resurgence to help. And it's in his mercy, as Mr. Flurry writes there, so that people have more time to correct their ways, to look for the truth. I'm sure on a physical level, there might be some method to the tariff madness. And people, again, they're going to look to President Donald Trump. But as you have all of this happening, there are articles still coming out about the national debt. And Elon Musk says that we have to reduce spending. And they're talking about the new spending bill. And a lot of the Republican senators are just saying there's nothing in here that reduces spending. That debt is constantly there. And it's like God could just have that flip over at any moment when he needs to bring this nation to its knees. You look at some of the things that have been exposed over the past few months. If there's anything with the tariff policy, it's exposed that America is not even a sovereign nation. We can't operate the way we want to without all of these other foreign competitors really having a say. It's exposed a lot about market manipulation, how these Gentile powers take advantage of the United States, even when they were talking about pharmaceutical pricing and how much more expensive it is in the United States versus the same product in Europe. And the argument there is, well, the Americans are the ones that pay for all the innovation. So the rest of the world just basically gets, they're living on the welfare state that the American citizens are paying for. That's beyond just pharmaceuticals. That applies to many other things. But like I said, this debt, it's always there. And it's not just looming. It's growing. It's getting much, much bigger. And Elon Musk, for all of his effort to go and clean things up and to try to stop that corruption, the problem is the corruption is legal. It's Congress signing it into law. You look at the things that are being passed, and that is just... there are so many outrageous things in these giant spending bills, but it's legal. You can't send them to jail. Well, this is what the people voted for. The Citizen Free Press, I think this was last week, and they just had a list of articles about how bad the debt is getting and the interest on the debt in particular. We owe $881 billion in interest. That's where we're at right now. The defense budget is $855 billion. And it's often said that when that defense or the interest rates or the spending on interest exceeds defense spending, that's the end of an empire. We have to go into debt to pay the interest. We have to borrow more money to pay the fee for borrowing money. The Congressional Budget Office says that by the end of this financial year, the interest payments could be as much as $952 billion, nearly $1 trillion. Right now, it's the second largest item on the budget behind Social Security. And what they're saying is in 10 years, it'll be the biggest item on the U.S. budget. Interest, paying for that debt. You look at some of these charts that Citizen Free Press put up, and it's a big, we've been doubling the debt every presidency for the last few decades. But you look at the interest rates, and it's COVID 2020 really exposed a lot. And that interest payment, it just keeps rising and rising, almost doubling each year the past 3 or 4 years. Just more and more spending. Ignoring all of the warning signs, just spend more. We can spend our way out of it. And that's the depressing news behind what is positive news, I guess, in many ways. But you look at what is looming there. You look at where this country is financially, and we're just in love with debt. I have an article here. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but it's about how many people are using these payment systems. I don't remember the names of them, but you can pretty much finance anything. You go to Chipotle and your $12 burrito, you can use this app and you can pay $3 a month for the next 4 months. And they're talking about how many people are doing this to pay for every little item. I mean, we're just so addicted to debt. Speaking of the media, I wanted to get into this big story about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Jake Tapper is, I believe his book is coming out this week. It's titled Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. And both sides in the media are getting worse. We don't pick a side. We're not Republican or Democrat. God isn't a Republican or a Democrat. Each sides are getting worse. And we've got to seek the truth. We've got to pursue right. And God is very black and white. There's right and wrong. There's good and evil. And we've got to find the truth. But you look at just how bad the radical left is in this country. There are so many aspects to this story about Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline. We were talking about it in 2020, and this article and in this book, Original Sin, it says that this was starting with Joe Biden back in 2015 and 2016. There's so many aspects to this story. Dr. Jill forcing Biden to run again, Barack Obama encouraging him to do it, Joe Biden clearly in decline and trying to cover it up, all of his staffers lying about it. But in a lot of ways, you can see where, not that lying is right, but where they're motivated to do that. I think the most condemning aspect of it is the way the regime media covered it. Because they would play a video clip that showed something obviously wrong with Joe Biden, and they would tell you to your face, don't believe what you're seeing. You're a liar if you say that Biden isn't sharp as a tack, if it's not the best Biden you've ever seen. That's Jake Tapper was saying that. I'll play the montage for you in just a bit. Mr. Palmer sent an email this morning about this story and just mentioned how surreal it is that now all of these journalists are coming out who totally covered this story up, and now they're coming out and making writing these books and cashing in on exposing something that they helped cover up. In one way, it's a genius evil tactic because they make themselves the story. Well, we'll cover it up, and then a few years we'll act like we didn't do that, and we'll write the story about the cover up. Just totally shameless. And how many people still give any of these networks credibility is just shocking. This story reminded me of Ben Rhodes, those comments that he made to David Samuels at the New York Times about how the media is the blob. I mean, they are droids, essentially. Jake Tapper's defense is, well, we report what the White House tells us. But you're the media. You're supposed to ask the tough questions. You're supposed to investigate. Well, we can't go there. Well, the official statement is that Joe Biden is absolutely fine. Well, anybody could tell that they were lying. You just watch. You feel awful for the man. Watching him walk, try to speak. I mean, there's many evil things that he did as well. But they're the blob, the press droids, the propaganda arm of the White House, essentially. Well, if you're not going to ask the tough questions, then you are just an extension of the Democrat Party. And they'll tell you that they're objective. They'll tell you that they're unbiased. We just report what they tell us to report. Ben Rhodes knew it. He knew how to play them. Just to start, as we get into this story, here is a montage that Grabian put together. And it shows you where Jake Tapper stood on the issue of Biden's decline just last summer. This is clip 5.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me that
try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
The Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly, some of them, because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
I mean, just like, what is he thinking? Exercise in narcissism. I mean, false claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage. Quote, behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping, unquote. The Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp, which is run by the Murdochs. Beyond the headline, there is some critical nuance here. The article is mostly based on observations of Republicans, with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy the only one going on the record. They do note in the article that most of the criticism comes from Republicans. Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
The Russians are trying to do to make us and the public not trust our election integrity. Joe Biden has dementia, all this stuff.
It was Russian propaganda. Can you believe that? That's Jake Tapper, who, forget everything about Biden, which we could all see. Jake Tapper is the face of this scandal for the past 4 or 5 years. The media, they're the ones that should be shamed right now. Now he's writing a book about how everybody lied to him and covered it up. He's making money off of it. And Biden sees this book coming. Dr. Jill, we got to get him out. We got to get ahead of this. Not a smart move at all, because it just proves all of these points. But just how decrepit and evil the media are. This is Kevin O'Leary. He's talking about Joe Biden. Now how all of these journalists who loved the man, who said he could do no wrong. Joe Scarborough said he was the sharpest he's ever seen him, and just was cursing at anyone that would question that. Now they're making money off of it. This is clip 1.
This poor man was broken. And look what happened to the country, and look at how he's being beaten up. It's almost immoral what we're doing to him now, to sell books. I was there at the White House dinner watching this. The same reporters who didn't report on him are profiting from his decline.
Which dinner?
It's outrageous what they're doing.
Which?
Now, on one hand, we do need to hear about it. We do need to hear these stories. And we did. That's the point, is the book isn't necessary because we could all see it with our own eyes for 5 years, and they told us, you're lying to yourself. It's a cheap fake. There's no need for that book if the media is just honest the whole time, but they will lie about anything. Notice, hearing these clips from Jake Tapper now is, like Mr. Palmer said, it's just surreal. It's hard to believe that these people are doing this. This is clip 4.
Well, Alex Thompson and I were on the case, as were lots of other reporters, trying to figure out what was going on behind the scenes. But the bottom line is the White House was lying, not only to the press, not only to the public, but they were lying to members of their own cabinet. They were lying to White House staffers. They were lying to Democratic members of Congress, to donors, about how bad things had gotten. And in fact, Alex and I started writing this book after the election of 2024. And we spoke with more than 200 people, most of whom, almost all of whom, were Democrats, and almost all of whom wouldn't be honest with us or wouldn't be candid with us until after the election. And then after the election, we found out all of these things that, when you looked at what was going on with President Biden at the time, it probably doesn't surprise you the extent to which he was deteriorating. But now we have anecdotes and facts about what was really going on behind the scenes with details that Democrats wouldn't share with us until after Election Day.
Now, there are a lot of details being disclosed in that book. There's a lot more to it. And there are a lot of people that were lying, and it was a lot worse, actually, than what we are seeing with our lion eyes, as the media would tell us. It was worse, but Tapper, we were trying to figure out what was going on behind the scenes. They wouldn't even ask a hard question about what we could all see, what the whole country could see every day. I mean, we all saw it coming with the very first press conference Joe Biden did. Alex Thompson, the one that he's writing this book with, he tweeted, this was 2 summers ago, Biden's weird phrases are sometimes weaponized by the GOP to insinuate the 80-year-old president is in mental decline, but Biden has been using these unique phrases for years, even as some of his aides remain confused by their meaning. They just say whatever they need to say. And again, it wasn't age. There's a lot of 80-year-olds who are very sharp. There's a lot of 90-year-olds who are very sharp. There's a lot of CEOs up in that age bracket who are very sharp. We could all see what the problem was, but these really brave journalists who couldn't say it at the time are coming forward and telling you, well, now we can talk about this story. This clip, this was a montage that we played last year, and this was every time it was so obvious and apparent that something was wrong, the regime media would tell you that you're actually wrong. This is clip 8. This is a bit of a longer clip. I think it's about 4 minutes. But boy, you go back and watch this and then think about how they're talking now. Again, it's just, you can't trust any of these people. Clip 8.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office.
Well, and also I think when those on the right try and make it look like Biden is out of his mind, or the Wall Street Journal does a front page piece saying Biden is completely slipping, and they don't notice at the very same time that they're covering Biden in this way that is misleading, Donald Trump is on stage talking about sharks and batteries.
Yeah.
And really, looks like he's slipping.
He's deliberately lying about Joe Biden, and, you know, while he was giving the thumbs up to parachuters. And, of course, this media ecosystem, it seems more and more focused on just spreading misleading or outright false stories about Joe Biden. And
by independent observers saying, no, no, President Biden was not meandering off. He was going to salute one of the other parachutists. And there and then he came back to take, you know, the prime minister signaled him. He came back to take that photograph.
Said deliberately lying about a shot, cropping it in a way they know they're lying to the readers.
Right. An account circulating many of the clips responded, claiming the videos are unedited and promised to keep posting them.
A lie.
And also just if something is unedited, it's really one angle, not showing the whole story.
How about this, though, Mia? They lie about their lies, which, of course, you would expect liars to lie about their lies.
The full video posted by Biden finance chair on Twitter shows something entirely different. Biden reacting to applause and then walking off stage with former President Obama. It comes less than 1 week after the New York Post made a cover out of another piece of deceptively edited tape. Both the articles are based on cheap fakes, videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated to fool viewers. We would take the hand-wringing by right-wing media about Biden's mental fitness in videos intentionally manipulated to make him look unfit maybe a little more seriously if they weren't radio silent about the repeated glaring and real mental lapses happening behind podiums and on camera on the part of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. We're seeing these deep fakes, these manipulated videos, and it is, again, done in bad faith. All right.
I wanted to say something about
Maloney. I don't have anything. I don't know specifically what happened with Maloney.
The wandering, the parachutist.
Oh, I mean, look, that was, as I said, it was a cheap, a cheap fake. That was definitely a cheap fake. It was. This was widely fact-checked. That video was widely fact-checked, and it is a cheap fake.
So this is nothing, and he's totally normal?
What I'm saying is this is a president, right? Instead, let's step back for a second. They do these cheap fakes. They're cheap fakes. Okay, let's talk about Juneteenth.
Let's.
The president stood there listening to the music, and he didn't dance. Excuse me, I did not know not dancing was a mental, it was a health issue. That is a weird thing to actually flag. There were some folks who were not dancing either, and that has been fact-checked. I mean, just because you're standing up listening to music and not dancing, that is not a health issue.
Former President Obama and George Maloney of early, they physically put hands on the president to guide him and show him, give stage directions. Are they doing that on their own, or has anybody asked them to run the show like that?
First of all, let me spoke to the most recent, right, by others, and he said this did not happen in the sense of what people were saying they were seeing, right, or what was being falsely reported that they were seeing. Let's not forget, President Obama, President Biden have a relationship. They are friends. They're like family to each other. And I think that's what you saw. You saw the president put his hand on the back of President Biden, and they walked off the stage after taking questions at an event, taking questions from Jimmy Kimmel. That is what you saw.
The George Clooney fundraiser, that was what really tipped it. And in this article that by Jake Tapper, and they're trying to drive up a lot of attention anticipating the book, they talk about how all of the people that interacted with Biden at that fundraiser were very concerned about the way he was behaving. A lot of Democrats, a lot of Obama advisors, they were commenting on how they thought he was dead at points, how they had to go out and help him. And then Karine Jean-Pierre, the fake French lady, she's out there saying it's totally fine, it's a cheap fake, you just have to watch the video for yourself. And what's most condemning is that all of those people that were at that fundraiser that interacted with Biden knew something was wrong. One of them, I think it was David Plouffe's wife, said, we can't let people leave here, as in the thousands of people in the audience, without giving them a game plan on how to talk about what just happened. They all sat through 2 or 3 weeks of hearing about the cheap fakes and didn't say, they're wrong about that, it is a lot worse. Not until June 24th, the debate, where they just couldn't cover it up any longer. They just kept lying right to your face. Look at how Jake Tapper talks about this now. This is clip six.
You can see it right there, and seemed to stare a little blankly into the crowd, and then President Obama tugged on him. You saw that tug and led him off the stage. So you just said you spoke to a lot of people who were there for that. What else did they tell you about it?
Well, Obama's side of that story is he wasn't sure what was going on, but he just wanted to get out of there, and he wasn't going to get out of there without Biden. So he grabbed him, and it was more just his impatience than anything else. But other people who were there, and we should note that the Biden White House falsely, when people showed that clip and asked what was going on, said it was a cheap fake. They did this all the time when there was video that seemed to show Biden acting in an odd or unusual, seemingly out of it way. They would call it a cheap fake. It was not fake. It was actual video. And people in the arena who did not see the horrifying scene behind the stage, but in the arena, Congresswoman Annie Custer, John Favreau, former Obama chief speechwriter, and others, just from that event and Biden walking towards the edge of the stage, thought, oh my God, something is wrong here. He's not going to make it.
It's painful. Not for what Biden's aides were doing to cover up for him. That clip of Jake Tapper, to hear him talk that way, that's the scandal. I hope somebody writes a book about Jake Tapper writing the book about how he covered it up himself and is now revealing it. Why wouldn't he call them out at the time it was happening? We did. Everyone else with a functioning brain did. If you weren't a part of the blob, you did. And that article, this is at the, I forgot to write down where they published. I think it was in the New Yorker. How Joe Biden Handed the Presidency to Donald Trump. This is by Jake Tapper. Obama didn't know what to make of how his former running mate was acting. At one point, in a small group of a few dozen top donors, Biden began speaking, barely audibly, and trailed off incoherently. Obama had to jump in and preside. At other moments during photos, Obama would hop in and finish sentences for him. I mean, so much of this, you see, Obama likes seeing America get humiliated and embarrassed, but you see the silencing of Barack Obama. I mean, this was his successor, and there he is out there having to caretake for him. Here's another clip from Jake Tapper's interview, clip seven.
There was the event on stage with Jimmy Kimmel and Barack Obama, but then also behind the scenes, photographs and smaller speeches for big donors. And it was there that President Biden walked over to George Clooney, and Clooney realized, and other people witnessing realized, that Biden did not recognize him. This despite the fact that they'd known each other since roughly after 9/11. They'd had many meetings when Biden was vice president. They'd known each other for a long time. Biden had awarded him a Kennedy Center award in December 2022, and obviously Clooney was throwing this fundraiser for him, a record-setting fundraiser. Biden was just walking around saying, hello, thanks for being here, hello, thanks for being here. And an aide said, you know George. And the president was like, yeah, sure, how are you, thanks for being here. And the aide had to say, no, George Clooney. And it was just shocking for everyone involved. And in fact, it wasn't just those in that specific conversation that were shocked. President Obama was there. He was stunned.
Amazing to think that they're all making money off of this now. Thinking back to that year, well, it was just last summer. Going back, this is one of my favorite articles by Mr. Fleury. It's from the May-June 2020 Philadelphia Trumpet. It's titled "A Dangerous New Age of Worshipping the Will." He writes, without a free and truthful media, a republic cannot survive. You look at this story, you read the details about Jake Tapper and the way he was talking at that time, and take it right back to 2015 and the whole Russia hoax. I mean, you see these people exposing themselves. Tapper could have just been quiet about it. Instead, he comes out and writes a book that, again, is not that condemning of Biden and the White House that he ran. We all knew that was going on. It's condemning himself. Mr. Fleury says, radical Democrats are demonstrating that there is virtually no limit to what they will do to attack the president and undermine the last election and the next one. Representative Schiff even suggested during the impeachment hearings that President Trump might offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next presidential election. This is unhinged fear-mongering devoid of any evidence. What is this man talking about? Isn't this exactly what Hitler was describing? These people believe that if they say it, it is true. If they will it, then everyone should believe them. This is deeply troubling. Bible prophecy shows that will worship is going to lead to fierce, intense suffering, even worse than it did in World War II. And it's evident and obvious on the left. And it's also happening a lot more on the right. Like I said earlier, it's not just one party versus the other. It's right and wrong. It's good and evil. We have to seek the truth. Mr. Fleury says, when human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions. Look at this world that man has created apart from God, cut off from God. They start thinking like Satan, Mr. Fleury writes. When this type of thinking becomes entrenched enough, people stop even caring about the difference between true and false. They start trying to magically create reality where no reality is. This thinking is taking over America's political scene. Can you recognize it? This is another clip from, I think this was on Fox News, but just talking about just how much lying there is. Clip two.
Liars lie about their lies. This is true. And this is just more liars lying about their lies. And I don't really know what is worse, whether or not they actually knew what was going on and they intentionally covered it up, or they were so deluded that they are only discovering it now because you've got a bunch of angry donors in the Democrat Party. The bottom line is, whether it was intentional or not at the time, they have to sort of do a much further evaluation and recognize that they are entirely, people like Jake Tapper, are entirely captured by the Democrat Party. And they do whatever bidding needs to be done. And whether it's overt and intentional or just subliminal and it's how they breathe, either way, it leads to a totally dishonest and corrupt media. And I think that they have lost so much credibility that it almost doesn't even matter anymore.
We all knew it. We all knew they were lying at the time. We all knew what was happening. And again, it's worse than we even knew. They're talking about how at one point Biden's physician said that if he trips one more time, he's going to have to be in a wheelchair. but then the physical would be released and it's Biden's in tip-top shape, nothing wrong. And how is the media? Now they're free to report on this all they want. Biden's gone and they'll talk about it happily. Well, here's why we lost. This is clip three.
Did you really not have any idea that he was not fit to serve a second term?
Casey, we're looking forward. We have the largest Medicaid cut in front of us. We have the whole federal government at risk.
Because you lost a presidential election. And yeah. Is that not Joe Biden's responsibility for deciding to run again?
We're looking forward.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it. We're moving on. And that's what they do. Put some distance between the scandal. Statute of limitations kicks in. We don't need to revisit that. Don't need to talk about it anymore. But in this moment, they failed. God exposed them and brought Trump back into office. And now they're out of power, being silenced. Just thinking about Barack Obama, even having that responsibility when he's on stage with Joe Biden. You see how God has silenced them. Well, speaking of moving on, I had another story I wanted to get to. Well, this ties in with just how corrupt and biased the media is. There were this story earlier this week of 59 refugees from South Africa coming to the United States. And suddenly the Democrats hate immigration. They can't stand immigration. Notice this montage of the regime media reacting to 59 immigrants coming over from South Africa. Clip 10.
The South African president says the people arriving in the U.S. today do not fit the definition of refugees, and that what Trump has been told about their persecution is false.
It's not alleged discrimination that these people are facing in South Africa. I mean, the law there absolutely allows their property to be confiscated. They are subject to racial discrimination. Some have been subject to violence from some reports that I have read. I mean, we're talking about 50-something people, and the people who seem to be angriest about this today had no problem with 20 million coming here. Some of the worst people in the world coming here, including gang members and so on and so forth. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for the folks who are outraged today after what happened to this country over the last several years, over 50-something people who are clearly being discriminated against in South Africa.
But according to organizations there, there's been no taking back, forcible taking back of confiscation of land at this point.
Nobody has had their land taken away. And you know, these Afrikaners are among the most privileged people on the entire continent. Instead, we bring in, you know, a group of people who don't remotely qualify as refugees. But what distinguishes them is that they are white. But we were willing, America was, to provide a plane to bring 49 Afrikaners, white privileged Afrikaners, to the United States and give them expedited refugee status.
Well, the Trump administration has made it virtually impossible for many refugees to come to the United States, but the president is making a special exception for a group of 59 white South Africans who have, the president and his top advisor, Elon Musk, who is South African, have made allegations that white farmers in the country are being discriminated against under land reform policies.
So deeply and morally wrongheaded and repulsive. These are the descendants of the people who created the most diabolical system of white supremacy in human history, apartheid. It's like a Batman movie or something where all the bad guys are get collected under one roof. I mean, like, who else do you now go and find other racists who have, repressed people and give them refugee status here? It's just
the Trump administration is a lot of things. But one thing it certainly is a white nationalist project.
The apartheid system ended, and they reformed their constitution under the great leader of Nelson Mandela, and that allowed for a racial reconciliation, one that this country has yet to do. But South Africa did it, and they reformed their constitution, and part of that is that the people who are native to that land deserve their rightful land back.
They reformed their constitution, and it is true. The party, I don't remember all the details, but there's the prominent party in South Africa, their leader chants, kill the farmers, kill the white farmers. It might be that one of the most dangerous jobs in the world is being a white farmer in South Africa. You look at the 59 refugees in that video that are coming over, and they are families with children, and they have luggage, and you know what? They're waving American flags. And then all of these commentators, basically, well, there's this crisis going on in this country. How come we can't let in a million people from Sudan? Wait, what about allowing the border to be wide open for millions of military-aged males, refugees, to come into the United States without families, not documented, and definitely not waving American flags and not doing it the legal way? Now, what about the United States? If you say to these Democrats, well, the United States should go try to solve that conflict. Well, the evil colonizers, don't try to impose America's way on these countries. Instead of trying to bring, and this is on the right and the left, try to impose and bring stability to the rest of the world. Well, on one side, America's racist for doing that. On the other side, we need to be more isolationist. I mean, look at the problems that come from both sides. One documentary, this was a few years ago, it's a fascinating documentary. It talks about the South Africa and just even how this land was being used. And there isn't really a rightful heir to it the way those commentators are talking, like they had their land stolen. It's a really good documentary. It talks about the persecution of these farmers in South Africa. It's by Lauren Southern, if you want to look into it. It's titled Farmlands, and it came out in 2018. A really fascinating documentary. But again, all they want to talk about is is well, Trump is so racist for not letting in millions of anti-American migrants, and here lets in just a few. It really shouldn't even be a story. It's not even noticeable, these 59 people coming into our nation. I wanted to comment a bit with the time remaining, which isn't a lot, about Trump's visit through the Middle East. And it's interesting, you look at the nations that he's visiting and you look at Bible prophecy. He's going on this tour of these Psalm 83 nations. He's visiting Saudi Arabia, I think the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar, however you say that. He's relieving or lifting sanctions on Syria. You look at that map that we've published many times over, and notice, though, what President Trump said during this tour. This is clip 11.
If only the Iranian regime had focused on building their nation up instead of tearing the region down. Yet I'm here today not merely to condemn the past chaos of Iran's leaders, but to offer them a new path and a much better path toward a far better and more hopeful future. As I've shown repeatedly, I am willing to end past conflicts and forge new partnerships for a better and more stable world, even if our differences may be very profound, which obviously they are in the case of Iran. I have never believed in having permanent enemies. I am different than a lot of people think. I don't like permanent enemies, but sometimes you need enemies to do the job, and you have to do it right. Enemies get you motivated. In fact, some of the closest friends of the United States of America are nations we fought wars against in generations past, and now they're our friends and our allies. I want to make a deal with Iran. If I can make a deal with Iran, I'll be very happy if we're going to make your region and the world a safer place. But if Iran's leadership rejects this olive branch and continues to attack their neighbors, then we will have no choice but to inflict massive maximum pressure. As I said in my inaugural address, my greatest hope is to be a peacemaker and to be a unifier.
What I thought was interesting about that clip, I mean, he still will talk tough about Iran, but he said in there that I'm coming here to offer a new path and a much better path. I'm willing to end past conflicts and forge new partnerships for a better and more stable world. Barack Obama, in his Cairo speech in 2009, says, I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning, to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect. I could have played the clip, probably would have gone lasted the rest of the show for how many pauses he puts in there, but a similar tone between the two. Even President Trump saying in there, some of the closest friends of the United States of America are nations we fought wars against in generations past. And when you know history, when you know Bible prophecy, that's a pretty frightening statement. I assume he'd be talking there about Germany and Japan. You read the Ezekiel booklet by Mr. Fleury, read Ezekiel 23 and read what that prophecy is about. The United States being betrayed by our lovers, by the nations that we think are allies. And God uses very vivid and graphic language to describe that relationship. I mean, about a prostitute, basically. Because it's that meaningful and impactful to God that instead of trying to have a relationship with God, we are committing adultery and going to these other nations, seeking to make deals with other nations instead of turning to God. And God uses really graphic language to describe how that makes him feel, how upsetting that is to him. Another interesting aspect to this, Mr. Abraham Blondeau was emailing me this morning. He's on Trumpet World. And just how Barack Obama went to the Shiite nations and he wanted to strengthen them, and going to the Middle East and trying to create this balance of power. And that was the 2 Kings 14, trying to blot out the United States and Israel. But President Trump, he's going to these Psalm 83 nations and says, well, it's a new beginning. But you look at the Psalm 83 prophecy, and the goal of that alliance between those nations and Germany is to blot out Israel. The motivation could be different. on both ends, but the same result comes from it. Really a fascinating development on the scene right now. And you look at what Trump is over there doing. He's, like I mentioned, lifting sanctions on Syria, making all of these deals with Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's big money to be made over in Saudi Arabia. And a lot of people are really excited. You could put up that Fox News headline about just how, well, this is in America's interest. We're really excited about it. President Trump went to Qatar with clear mission, and he just delivered big for Americans. That's the headline on Fox News. I think he's the first president to visit that country. That country that supports Hamas and radical terrorists, that gave their leaders safe harbor and protects them. If we can make some money out of it. I mean, the thinking is if everybody is just rich together, we'll all get along and we'll all be happy. Fundamentally misunderstanding human nature. Fundamentally not recognizing good and evil. That there's a spirit realm in this world. President Trump, he's in Saudi Arabia. They signed one of the, I think, the largest arms deal in world history. A commitment for Saudi Arabia to buy $142 billion worth of defense material. And I think Trump's calculation is that, well, we'll have them take care of the Persian Gulf. We'll have them take care of the Red Sea. We don't have to do it. We can pay our great allies, and we're so financially connected that we'll just always get along together. Psalm 83 says their goal is to blot out Israel, the modern nations of Israel. And it's fascinating to think about, well, we see in Psalm 83 that they're allied with Germany, and Germany deeply cares about the Mediterranean, the Suez Canal, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the Persian Gulf. And now these nations that they will become allied with, they're getting a lot of support from the United States. You just see America helping its lovers at this point, and you see the stage being set for what will be an epic betrayal. But we're going to make some money off of it. Saudi Arabia pledges to invest $600 billion in the United States, potentially up to $1 trillion. And we're so concerned about making deals with other nations, with human beings. Read Ezekiel 23 and see how that works out. Instead of turning to God and looking to God for help, it's the art of the deal. We can do all of this on our own. And you see how the message at the trumpet, it's going to come under fire a lot, because there could be this massive resurgence. And there's going to be a warning, though, that is constant from here. And a lot of people say, well, it's Amos 8:11. We can't bear that negative message. It's really the most positive message that you could receive. The negative message is trusting in man and thinking that money is going to solve all of your problems. As President Trump is over there and dealing with these Muslim nations, Israel is just left out high and dry. And even just the optics that they tried to work out with that prisoner release from Hamas, the American, they wanted him to fly over to Qatar. This is the first time the president, a U.S. president, has been over there. Then they want this prisoner who Qatar helped imprison to go over to Qatar, I guess to thank his benevolent captors for letting him go. The Wall Street Journal, Trump surprised and sidelined Israel ahead of landmark Middle East trip. They go through a lot of details about this trip, and then it's a good list in there of all of these things that President Trump has done over the past few months that have just set Israel back on its heels. Well, there's a lot of detail in this article that I was hoping to get through. You could read that article on your own. Maybe Mr. Fleury would have time to go through it. It's titled Trump Surprised and Sidelined Israel Ahead of Landmark Middle East Trip. I miscalculated and I ran out of time. I apologize for that. If you want to request any of the literature that we offered on today's show, email td@thetrumpet.com. We've got the free Trumpet magazine. All of our literature is free. If you haven't read the Ezekiel Watchman book, request that as well. It talks about Ezekiel 23 and some of the prophecy that I went through in that book. If you have Any comments for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Mr. Stephen Fleury should be back with you for tomorrow's program. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow.